Let's get into our first dilemma. She seems almost addicted to the drama and the attention which she admitted to enjoying.
Sounds okay. Like spiraling.
I'd feel weird going to a wedding if I don't know the bride and groom at all.
You can't call everybody a friend.
I feel like I'm watching her self-destruct from the front row and it's painful to watch.
Probably feel a little bit responsible because you've encouraged some of the behaviour. Oof, that's a heavy one.
Good storytelling, because I'm like, okay. Hello and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we have candid conversations about friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode of this podcast, I sit down with a variety of guests as they share their unique experiences and stories through friendship breakups. And today we're doing something different. I have my really good friend here, Samba, who is our co-host, as today we are doing a dilemma episode. So it's just really informal. Today it's just going to be like a girly chat as we just read through your dilemmas and just have a chat and just discuss like the different nuances of friendships. So yeah, Samba has been my friend for how long have we been friends?
Since 2005.
Since 2005? Yes. So that's almost 20 years.
Yes.
It makes me feel really old because it doesn't feel like it's been 20 years.
No, it doesn't.
So Samba and I met at college.
Yes.
And we were actually in the same general studies class. I don't know if they still do general studies, but it was just like a random course.
Yes, it was a random class. So general studies was like you pick your core subjects after you do GCSEs. So we both picked A-levels and we had completely different core subjects. But to have the fourth A-level, we was just like, oh, we're not interested in anything else.
It wasn't even A-levels, AS. So it was just for 1 year.
It was just for 1 year. But you needed to have, because our college had like slightly higher entry requirements, you couldn't just do three AS. You had to do 4 to 5. So we were both umming and ahhing and ended up picking general studies because it was just like,
it just seemed random.
It was random.
You just needed to pick one.
And so we ended up picking general studies for the exact same reasons. And I actually don't think we met in general studies class.
Really?
We met in the library.
Seriously?
And then we ended up in the same general studies class.
Okay, so was it one of them ones we met in the library and then it's like when we got into class, we were like,
oh, you? Yeah.
So, yeah, and we've just been friends ever since. And it's amazing because I kind of feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like, at that time, a lot of us were set in our friendships. Like we had our friends that we made in like secondary school. So it was really rare to make a really long-term life friend in college. But yeah, Sam and I just stayed in touch. And we've had, our friendship spanned this long. We've done the whole uni thing. Samba's, you've even lived and worked abroad.
Yeah.
And somehow life has just always kept us in touch.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that we're in this season of like, we're both married, I feel like that sort of gelled us more.
Yeah. So we're both married. We're both going through like huge career moments.
Yeah.
We have a lot of like, you know, women in corporate environment conversations.
Exactly.
We have a lot of conversations just about life in general. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the evolution of our friendship is that we've gone through so many different life phases. And even when the phase or the season that we've been in have been extremely different, we still manage to be there for each other as friends. And we might go, there was a point when I was living abroad, I might not speak to you for weeks at a time. But then when we did speak, it was like no time had passed.
Definitely.
So that's why it feels like we've not been friends for as long as we have.
Yeah.
You sit there and you think, wow, it's been that long. And it doesn't feel that way because no time, you know, there's never a time lapse. It's like no love loss.
Mm.
Whether I'm living abroad, whether, you know, we always reconnect, we always stay in touch, and we've always been there for one another.
Definitely.
If I didn't speak to Daisy for 6 months and she picked up the phone, I'd be like, hey girl, what do you need? Are you okay? And so I'm very happy to be here on the podcast with you. I think it feels very natural to be here with you.
Aww.
Talking about friendship. So I'm looking forward to our discussions.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I wanted Samba to be a co-host is she's definitely been there through the whole journey of like just this whole idea of just speaking about friendships, friendship breakup. She was there in the thick of my friendship breakup. And Samba and I spent a lot of time talking. It was mainly like through voice notes. Like, so you know that there's that meme on social media when you're listening to your friend's voice note, like it's a podcast. Literally, that's us. And we have a lot of conversations about life in general. So I just thought it's just natural to have you on here. And the good thing about Samba and I, we don't always agree when we talk. Like, we are very open. So I just think you'll be the best person to just have these discussions with. So yeah, let's get into our first dilemma. So the first dilemma. So it says, a few months ago, I attended a wedding as a plus one and met someone who's now become a close friend. Let's call her Jasmine. We clicked instantly at the wedding since, apart from the people who we came with, neither of us knew anyone, even the bride and groom. Okay. I find this, that really weird.
It might be an African wedding where you're like, come, there's a wedding. Nah. Let's go.
I'm like, okay, I hope she at least knew of them. But I'm like, I'd feel weird going to a wedding if I don't know the bride and groom at all.
I mean, I make that joke about, you know, just showing up to a wedding, like the African weddings where everyone just invites a plus one. But there's been scenarios where, for example, my husband and I have been to a wedding,
yeah,
and it was a work colleague of his I didn't necessarily know. So in that scenario, I can understand how that could happen.
Okay, I get you.
But
I
yeah,
get you.
Let's see what all happens.
Right, so going back in, so she says, I remember thinking she was incredible, extremely beautiful. She put extremely big letters, full of good vibes and just someone I could really see myself getting along with. We quickly became friends and the first few weeks were an absolute dream. We'd talk on the phone for hours, meet up a few times, and she even met some of my other friends who all thought she was amazing too. Everything was going perfectly until she started sharing details about her relationship with her boyfriend. That's when I began to see a different side of her.
Mm,
good
storytelling. Yeah.
Good storytelling, because I'm like, okay. Because right now she's
flipping the pages through the novel.
She's sounding amazing. even the friends like us, that's a really good sign. So continuing on. So Jasmine confided in me about her relationship struggles. She's been with her boyfriend since they were young, but he made it clear he didn't believe in marriage.
Ooh.
Even though he's a Christian.
Ooh, okay. Double, triple, quadruple, ooh.
I know. So she had hoped his views would change as he matured, but years have passed and he stayed firm in his belief. He loves her, is committed to her, and wants to spend the rest of his life with her, just without the marriage certificate. Okay.
I hate this marriage certificate statement.
It's just a piece of paper. And I feel like I'm going to be a bit deep now, but I'm like, okay, if it's just a, you know, piece of paper, if it's so insignificant, then just do it then. If it's literally just a piece of paper.
You don't even need to buy the ring. Just go to the town hall. Go to the town hall. You can even book it. I think, what is it, £50? Go to the town hall and sign the piece of paper and get a prenup. And then it is just literally just a piece of paper. But yeah, let's, because I'm going to go off on a tangent about this. It's just a piece of paper conversation. It really irritates me.
Yeah. So,
but
okay.
I respect everyone's decisions. If you don't want to get married, then it's fine. But don't diminish other people that value marriage.
No,
so
definitely.
If you don't want to get married, that's absolutely fine. But do not diminish other people that see it as something special. It's no different to, do not diminish someone's religious belief, someone's way of living.
Mm.
You know, if they're vegan, if they eat meat, if they're Christian, if they're Muslim, if they're Hindu, if they're Buddha, if they decide to live on a farm, that is their decision. But don't look down on someone else by saying it's just a piece of paper. I feel like people make that very flippant statement about marriage. And, you know, it's fine if you don't want to do it. Just don't. The piece of paper thing is triggering for me.
Just say, I don't want to get married, full stop. It's not the piece of paper. You just say you don't want to get married.
Exactly.
But so going back to the story. So just to recap, because we kind of went off a bit. So, you know, this lovely writer that's written in this dilemma is basically, she's met this incredible friend. Everything's going well, and then she starts to share things about her relationship, and she's with somebody that she's been with for years, and he doesn't want marriage. Then the writer says, I felt terrible for her because she's such a lovely person and it's clear she's tired of the relationship. I told her that if marriage is something she truly wants, she should consider ending the relationship. But what she did next completely threw me. Instead of breaking up with him, she decided to sleep with another guy to give her boyfriend a reason to break up with her. Okay, I wasn't expecting that, but okay. This led to a string of unhealthy and reckless encounters with men who seemed only interested in her for her looks. There's one guy she's currently messing around with who's outright abusive, swears at her, is leading her on, and has made it clear he's only after her for her body.
Oh, that's awful.
I know. Despite all of this, she seems almost addicted to the drama and the attention, which she admitted to enjoying, even though she knows it's wrong.
Sounds okay. Like spiraling.
Jasmine is still a lovely person at heart, but our friendship feels toxic now. I feel like I'm watching her self-destruct from the front row, and it's painful to watch. Every time I try to give her advice, it's met with "don't judge me," and I worry that her choices are leading her down a dangerous path. The friendship is still quite new, and the truth is, I don't know her that well.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks it might be easier to make my exit now before things get even messier. But another part of me feels like I should have a heart-to-heart with her and try to help her see the damage she's doing to herself. Should I end this friendship before it drags me down too? Or do I owe it to her to try and get through to her before it's too late?
Oof, that's a heavy one. It started off all
wow, she's amazing, she's this,
and no pun intended, but a field of daisies, beautiful, you know, happy, skipping hand in hand as BFFs, and then it's gone.
I feel like, so the way on this podcast we want to approach answering dilemmas is we definitely don't want to come across like we're experts. And also it's like, I want people to take it like, look, you're coming and sitting down with friends and we're just having a chat. Do you get what I mean?
And it's a no judgment zone. We're having a chat and it's almost like you're working through it. And that's why, you know, when Daisy did the intro, I thought it was lovely that she mentioned that we've gone through several different life experiences.
Yeah.
And we've been able to come together, because anytime Daisy and I have had conversations about life, whether it's we're going through a relationship thing and it's very different, or we're going through a work thing or a friendship thing, we've been very respectful of, even if we feel our friend is wrong or right, it's how do we help them get through to the other side? It's constructive, right? And it's aiming to have an end goal, not an idol like you're wrong, you're right, or you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. So it's an open dialogue is how I would like for us to help the person who's written in solve their dilemma, or help them on
just
their
contribute
path
to that.
Yes,
they need to sit down and figure out, this is what I need to do. So I don't want it to be taken as, you know, this is advice straight from the internet, I have to take it, but more like, this is going to contribute to the thoughts and ideas that I have, that's going to ultimately lead me to make the decision that works for me.
Yes, it's giving perspective on a very difficult situation. So where should we start? It's a heavy one.
I want to start from the beginning.
Okay.
Because what it sounds like is, the beginning is, you know, you met this person. I just saw this person's wonderful. They're incredible. They're amazing. So it seems like Jasmine has this charm about her. And I'm not saying that as in it's a bad thing, but she's charmed her. It's almost like she swept the writer off her feet.
Yeah. And so how I would describe that, sorry to interrupt you, but how I would describe that is, you see, when you're dating someone, you meet this handsome guy. He's handsome. He's giving you all the love languages that you want. He's in every aesthetic way pleasing to you. And then it's like a love bombing thing. So how I would describe it, this sounds to me like a friendship bombing thing, where she has this halo effect, right? The Jasmine person in the dilemma. So she's beautiful, she's funny, she's interesting. Everybody wants to be, she's Miss Popular, right? Everybody wants to be her friend. So it's the halo effect that's what triggered the friendship. She's good looking, she's fun to be around. You don't really know her, but that's what's drawn her into you. Not necessarily that you have loads in common, but she's just interesting and a lovely person to be around. So that energy you was feeding off of. So that's the premise of the start of the friendship, which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I have friends that are absolutely drop dead gorgeous and fun to be around, and they have this amazing aura. And then when you get to know them, the reason why we're still friends is because that they're also amazing on the inside, and that we have things in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems from the beginning, it seems like they have things in common, but I feel like it's just that typical thing where the honeymoon period's over now. Like okay. The reality of the friendships here is in, like, I'm just going to be real. Sis is going through something. Jasmine is actually going through something. When you actually break down her situation, I'm not actually surprised at the reckless behavior.
Yeah.
Because when I look at her situation, so that's the first thing I picked up. This friend has swept you off your feet. And now the honeymoon period's over and it's like, okay, the person's going through something and this is the reality of the friendship. So you now need to figure out, okay, is this a reality I can kind of stick with? Does that make sense? So that's number one.
Okay.
I would say number two, I know she doesn't know her that well, but I feel like she's going through something. I feel like she could really do with a friend right now.
Yeah. I think it's such a heavy dilemma. Mm. And what I've done, I've tried to compartmentalize each thing because it's an evolution, right?
Mm.
So they've met, they've been swept off each other's feet, because equally the Jasmine character must also like the person who sent in the dilemma.
Yeah.
So they've had this instant spark and connection and become really good friends. So that's all fantastic. As they've got to know each other, then it's, you know, you're being called to action. Mm. Are you a friend? How are you going to show up for this person? This is real life. Like, we're not 16 anymore, where the biggest stress is handing in your GCSE coursework or the boy in the other block or in the other school has broken up with you. She's going through real life situation. So I guess how I would compartmentalize it is, number one, does she want this friendship to continue? And it shouldn't be off the basis of everything is going good, right? Because in friendships, it doesn't always go good.
Yeah.
So do you want this friendship to continue? Do you feel like she's a good person that you want to have in your life who just so happens to be going through something?
Mm.
Then as a friend, you have a sort of moral responsibility to help her, because it sounds like she's hit self-destruct because her life is not going how she felt it should. She's been hurt because she probably loves this man and was waiting for a marriage proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sending out a cry for help by sleeping with the other guy in the hope that he would desperately try to save the relationship, perhaps, and say, I don't want you to cheat on me. I don't want to lose you. Will you marry me? And that hasn't happened. So now she's hit the self-destruct button again. So she did the initial act by stepping out of her relationship. And then she did the next self-destruct act once the relationship completely broke down by continuing to, it's almost like she's punishing herself because her plan didn't go as she felt it should.
Yeah.
So as the writer, the person who sent in the dilemma, the initial question you have to answer is, do I want to progress with this friendship? The second one is, okay, how do I show up for this person? But in all actuality, the third thing, what I've sort of sectioned off or compartmentalized is, and this is a real life situation that I'm learning, you make new friends as you go along and you make the decision of, is this friend for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? And what are those boundaries? What type of friend it is? And I'm learning, I'm seeing it more and more everywhere. It's like, you can't call everybody a friend. There's an associate.
Yep.
For example, in my situation, there's mummy friends. Mm. There's work colleagues. I've learned a lot about not calling every work colleague a friend. Won't go into that one because there's acts of betrayal. Mm. But then it's my own fault because I didn't realize that they are a work colleague and not friend. Is setting those boundaries. What type of a friend is she? Is she like an extended friend, or are you bringing her into your inner circle? So once you decide that, then you can then decide what measures you want to take to help her, because from a moral standpoint, you can't, it's hard to watch someone that you've developed a bond with go through self-destruct mode. So if the boundary is she's an extended friend and not a close friend, then I would reach out to her close friends and say, hey, she's going through self-destruct. What can we do to help her?
Okay.
I'm going to push this back onto you guys because you guys are her inner circle.
And you guys know her.
And you guys know her. You know the situation.
That's a good point.
Whereas I'm an outsider almost. I'm her friend, but I'm more like the fun friend that she's just met at a wedding, through partners even, because we were plus ones, right? We didn't know the bride and groom. So reach out to her close friends, reach out to her inner circle and say, I've noticed she's going through self-destruct. So from a moral standpoint, you fulfilled that. okay, I'm not just going to walk away because it's the easy thing to walk away. Because I think in this world, we've become too, you know, it's nothing to cut that person off.
Mm.
We've become too, I'm going to cut that person off. Oh, if it's not serving me. In life, not everything serves you.
Yeah.
And we're human. We're here to help one another. Like, we're not individuals. We don't live on an island. We live in a community. And as a part of that community, you guys are peers. You're similar, close in age. You guys hang out a bit since the wedding and becoming friends. You can't just drop her like a hot potato.
Yeah.
So there's, in my opinion, how I would handle it is a certain level of moral obligation to maybe put her in, put the right people in her, you know, put it on their radar that she's going through self-destruct. If the boundary is that it's not an extended friend, that she's actually, you've brought her into your inner circle, then try to be there for her, try to walk her through. And also the fact that you mentioned that you said you should break up with this guy, I feel that you've also written this dilemma because you probably feel a little bit responsible because you've encouraged some of the behavior.
Yeah.
So I would also, from a standpoint of maybe that tiny niggly feeling of guilt, also try to help her. But then at the very same time, there are boundaries to every relationship, and you need to know what that boundary is and how far you're willing to go while she's going through self-destruct.
The writer's right. Like, she could just pack up shop and say bye. We don't know each other like that, honestly. It's not like I have to say bye to this childhood friendship. But at the same time, the fact that you're even writing in, like, to get advice about this, it does show that you care. And I'm wondering, because you said something in your letter that said, you know, every time I say anything, it's like it's met with don't judge me. And I'm wondering whether your approach has been dealing with the behavior rather than the cause of it.
Think about
it, Sam, but like, imagine being in a relationship with someone since you're young and you've always had this hope you'll get married. And you can even say, she even mentioned she's tired of the relationship. It's been a lot. And then, I don't know, I've got a feeling she may have even gone and spoke to him and said, listen, we're going to have to break up because of this, this, this. And maybe, like, maybe he hasn't bitten. Maybe he's just said, go on then.
Bye.
And she's like, what? Yeah. And then it's all this reckless behavior. And I think maybe even the fact that, look, she's been with this one person for a very long time. She hasn't experienced other people.
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of that whole thing. Well, I've kept myself for you. I thought you were my husband. I'm just going to go. And do you get what I mean? Especially being a beautiful woman. How many men has she turned away
to hold out for him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe in your conversations, just find out, how are you feeling? Like,
help her process her feelings.
Yeah.
Help her, because then once you process the feelings and the root cause of the issue, then the reckless behavior would then solve itself, as opposed to trying to solve the reckless behavior but she's not dealt with the trauma of her breakup and what she's gone through. Because you know, in a relationship, I see my husband as my best friend. So you've not just lost your lover, you've lost your best friend. And that's a huge piece of your life to just suddenly be gone. It's almost like you lost an arm, and no one's telling you how to grow that arm back, how to cope with this new crippling effect in your life. Everyone's just saying you're doing something wrong and you need to stop, and why are you doing this? Get to the root and help her. And but then again, that's where you say, are you treating this as someone in your inner circle that you're going to really invest in helping get to that point, or are you going to seek advice and help, or bring in her other friends and family member potentially, if she has a sister or a mum, you know, or just her best friend, whoever that may be, and bring them in? I just feel that she needs to have a plan of action in place, decide where this friendship lays in terms of her priority. Because what we've also not mentioned is the person who's written in the dilemma. Is she still with the person that she went to the wedding with? Is she dealing with her own issues?
True.
Is that why she's probably, you know, maybe she's writing in for someone to say to her, give her the push to say, yeah, you can walk away.
Yeah.
So she might also have a lot on her plate. So she needs to set an order of priority. That's something I'm learning a lot. You can't stretch yourself to within an inch of your life to be there for everyone. Not every work colleague is a friend. Not every person you knew in school is still your friend. Not every person you went to university is a close friend. You know who your close friends are, and you know. And sometimes, you know, I do believe in meeting new people and them becoming part of your inner circle. So if this is the scenario here, if that's the case here, then you then need to then set the next point or plan of action in place, which is, well, how do I help her? If she's telling me she's not here to be judged, does she feel judged by my approach? Do I need to change my approach? Because at the end of the day, it's very hard. As a woman, especially when you've invested your time and effort into a man, she's probably helped him with work. She's probably built a home. She's been doing wife jobs on girlfriend's salary.
No, but it's true though. No, it's true. Honestly, the fact that they've been together since they were young, that's years and years and years of investment.
And just for it to go poof, you know, that is heartbreaking. That is soul destroying. Yeah. I've personally never gone through it because prior to my husband, I've never had years and years and years of like long-term relationship. But I've dated, and even like when you're dating and you're with someone for 6 months, for example, it feels like you've invested a wealth of time and effort and emotions and love into that. So could you only imagine like 10 years and then it's gone? So she's lost a huge part of her life and it is very traumatic.
Yeah.
And a level of empathy and grace needs to be afforded to her. So if she feels judged, find a different way to communicate to her.
Yeah. I definitely think, just change your approach a little bit. As Samba mentioned, like reach out, you know, she's got her own circle and community. Reach out to them that know her well, that know the situation, so they can carry a bit of the burden. And I think I would say it's a tough one because a part of me is just like, oh, we put like, is it easier just tell her, look, walk away. You really don't know her like that. But then I can see that she cares. Yeah. So I'm like, try these different options. And then if you still feel the way you're feeling, or if you still feel like, okay, look, this isn't working, then it's okay to say, look, I'm going to take a big step back.
Yeah, because you can help, but there's only so much you can do. And I'm learning myself in my own personal journey. You cannot deplete yourself to help other people, because as my husband likes to say, you need to put on your mask first before helping others. And if you're in a position where you feel completely exasperated and you don't have anything else left to give, and on top of that you don't have anything else left to give for someone you don't even know that well, it's okay. Like, you're not a bad person for walking away. But from just a human aspect, see if you can reach out to someone that can then step in and be that person for her.
But do you think this is too much effort for somebody that you don't really?
It's not
so
much.
Sounds like a lot of effort though.
It like, seems like
we're saying reach out to the friend, reach out to, I'm like,
but one phone call, if you have time to call EE about your internet not working, then you can make one phone call
just to say hey. An email, social media, just reach out and say, hey, I'm
worried about Jasmine. Since her breakup, I feel like she's been going through it and she might need you. And I'm just letting you know, just so that you can maybe reach out to her and see if you can help her through this situation. I don't feel that I'm the right person to do that, which is why I don't want to overstep that boundary in the type of relationship her and I have. Therefore, I am reaching out to the person that I, from my understanding, from not knowing her very long, that I feel that could potentially be the right person. And, you know, leave it at that. And it's okay, because again, you can't be something to everybody. That's something we all have to learn. We want to help people, we want to help everyone that we have a special encounter with, or someone that like, oh wow, they're a lovely person and I have special and fond memories of them. But if you did that for every single person, you'll be forever in servitude to people. And again, like I said, we don't know what the situation is of the person who's written in. And that's also quite telling of their character, because they've not mentioned in their dilemma.
Saying, I'm going through it too. It's true.
They've not centered themselves at all. So
it seems like you really care.
Yes.
So in summary, let's break this down. So first thing is, the friendship was a bit of a whirlwind. It was a bit of a friendship romance.
Love bombing.
Romance. And now the honeymoon period's over and the reality of the friendship is here. Unfortunately, it's come at a time when she's going through probably one of the hardest things she's ever had to go through. So just really think about, as Samba said, you know, where do I want to categorize this friendship? And I think that will help you know what to do. And secondly, you don't have to carry this whole burden. This is 10 plus years of things that she's carrying from that relationship. You know, reach out to anyone that knows her and see how you can collectively help her. And I think the third thing is just think about the approach, because the fact that she's coming out of Don't Judge Me is maybe the focus is too much on her behavior, as opposed to maybe, like you said, should I have a heart to heart? Have a heart to heart with her, but don't address the behavior so much, but address like, how are you feeling? Maybe just being able to talk about it like really raw and real may bring that healing, because she's not trying to find healing because it's
I think she's almost punishing herself and self-destructing, because that is what she sees her life as. Yeah. Her life has been destroyed because the person she thought she was building a life with is no longer a part of that, and for several reasons. So definitely help her process it to see a healthier way through, rather than continuing to self-destruct.
Yeah, so we wish you all the best with this dilemma, and honestly, yeah, sis needs help. Just be there for her as much as you can, but also just be mindful
within the bounds of the level of friendship and knowledge that you have of her, because again, you don't really know her. And just a PSA, because we've sort of like we've touched on the core of the dilemma, but just for women and men out there in general, when entering into a relationship, I think it's very important to know each other's core principles and intentions. Yeah. I think that's a big lesson and a big takeaway. If you both don't want children, fantastic, but that needs to be known quite early on. If you both want marriage or don't want marriage, it's good to know that early on so that you can have the choice to walk away or not. And just know that you can't change a person. They have to want to change themselves. So investing everything with the hopes of they'll change their mind is a very dangerous game to play. It's very hard. It's easier said than done. And it's easy to sit here from the other side and tell someone that, especially when you fall in love. But be very intentional when dating. The bounds of where the relationship is going or where you want it to go needs to be set. And then people change, right? People evolve. If it doesn't work, then you tried and you did it with the best intentions and you armed yourself with the best knowledge that you could. Yeah. And you were both open and transparent and you both communicated what you wanted and your feelings. But if there's no clarity from the beginning, you're not building anything on a solid foundation, unfortunately. And again, it's easier said than done, because affairs of the heart, your mind is always clouded. And I've been there, sis. Yeah. I have been there when you're banking on a relationship to work and it doesn't. And unfortunately, it's also a good way for Jasmine to learn, and maybe that's something you can advise her on her healing journey. What are her love languages? Because obviously her love languages were not being met. Yeah. What does she want beyond physical attraction? Because she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So she'll get another suitor. She'll get men that want her.
Yeah.
But the guys that she's been going for have been abusive and not been treating her well. She needs to set out what she's looking for. First, she needs to heal before she even thinks about the next relationship. Then she needs to set out what she actually wants in a relationship. And after that, once she knows what she wants, she's got clarity and she's kind of taken the time to heal a bit internally, I would maybe even want closure, because you've been with that person for so long. And
I don't know. I just feel like I've seen too many of these situations where I find this with guys will say in 1999, they'll say they don't want to get married. 2024. They still don't get married. Nothing's changed. They're very, very consistent.
Yeah.
And I feel like her boyfriend's been very, very, very consistent on the journey. That's what it says. She goes, she hoped he'll grow out of it. You know, I don't know, maybe they spoke with the pastor because mentioned he's a Christian, and he's still, do you get what I mean? And I think it is a cautionary tale for women as well, knowing that, not even just women, but just if somebody says, I like blue, believe them.
Yeah. If the person shows you who they are the first time, believe them.
Believe them. If they say they don't want marriage or they say they don't want kids, like, just believe them. Don't feel like there's going to be something that I will come and change them.
And I feel like maybe actually good point that you mentioned her faith. Sometimes I feel like when you feel like you've compromised who you are, your core beliefs, you also want to self-destruct because you've done it for someone who's not even reciprocated. So this man, he knows you've compromised your core beliefs to be with him, and it still hasn't worked out. You compromising. So if the person that you fall in love with, or the person that you see as a potential suitor, is forcing you to compromise who you are, then you're no longer being true to yourself, and it's not worth it. So also, as a friend, or if you reach out to her other friends, help her find herself again.
That's something. You really lose yourself when you've been in a long-term relationship.
And you compromise so much. Oh, of course, in relationships, you have to compromise. When you compromise to the point where you no longer recognize yourself, that can also cause you to self-destruct.
And also the whole Christian thing, like, I know she mentioned him being a Christian. I'm assuming they're both Christians. And maybe there was that belief that if I pray hard enough, if I show myself that Christian wife, then he'll see that value in me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, girl, there is a lot of dynamics, a lot to pack. And that's why we're saying, don't do this on your own. Yeah. Like, reach out to the help that you need. And also look after yourself on this journey. It's not easy. Like, I'd feel wounded if, like, I met this amazing person and then I'm, you know, all of a sudden they go into this deep sort of trial and you're like, rah, like, I wasn't ready for this. I was not prepared for this.
Yeah.
So, look after yourself as well and just know your limits. But I really admire the fact that as much as you've just met this person, that you're really invested and you really want to help them. And Jasmine, I really, really, girl, I really hope you heal. And I know, you know, if marriage is something you've always wanted, I know that, I know God can give it to you, but just focus on healing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Samba mentioned, like, really be clear on what you want going forward
and invest that love that you feel has been cut off into other things. You clearly are an amazing woman to the point where the person who's written in the dilemma, who's only known you for a short time, is so willing to help you. So recenter that and look around you. There are people that love you, sis. There are people that want to be there for you.
Definitely.
Invest that energy into that, and that will definitely help you along your healing journey.
Yeah. And just one last thing, encourage Jasmine in a way that I know, like, she's gone and done these reckless things, but just sort of encourage her for saying, you know what, well done for just calling it quits with that relationship. I don't know whether she called it quits or he called it quits, but just encourage her to know that, look, this is for your good, in a sense that imagine if you had that conversation and you sort of forced him down the aisle, that would have been worse, like that resentment or that, well, you pushed me to be here. So it's like you now transition to being married, you got what you want, but then your husband now resents you because he's like, look, I never believed in this and you forced me into it. And honestly, like, being a married person, you realize that, hey, the problems on the other side of marriage, there's plenty of problems. You don't want the problem to be like the guy just feels you forced him
into,
you know,
marriage. No.
So I know I know this dilemma, we've sort of touched on relationships and stuff like that. And I think that's the whole point of this segment. It's just meant to be a girly chat. I hope this helps you, the writer of the, and I hope this helps Jasmine as well. I don't know if she'll watch this.
Yeah.
But please relay these messages to her. And I'm really rooting for her. Honestly, I'm really rooting for her. And yeah, just support as much as you can. And yeah, thanks for writing in.
Thank you so much for writing in. And again, you know, we wish you guys all the best. And everything we've said is from a place of no judgment.
Yeah.
We just are having conversation and giving perspective. And we're hoping that the perspective helps you guys heal. And yeah, and we're doing it from the standpoint of sisterhood, right?
Definitely. So, like, literally, if you were our friend and you came, we'd say the exact same thing. You know, we'd be like...
So good luck, girls.
Yeah. Thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Unfriended podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please, please, please show us some love by liking, commenting, and subscribing to the YouTube channel. And if you do have a dilemma that you'd like us to discuss, please send it to theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. For more friendship breakup content or just to connect, you can find me on Instagram at @love_MissDaisy and also at theunfriended.pod. Thank you so much for sticking with us till the end, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye,
guys.